Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Is the banking crisis really over or just lying in wait?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. I will ask our Tuesday regular, Julie Neiman, whether banks are still feeling too big to fail. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow Industrials are back under 10,000 at 99.87. That's a drop of 22 points, about 0.2%. The NASDAQ is off 0.5%. S&P 500 down 0.3%. Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer are up a fraction. The drug makers had good results in clinical trials for an anti-clotting drug they're working on together. Analysts say it could be a $20 billion market. Okay, let's say good morning to analyst Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company, live from St. Louis. Hi there.
Morning, Bill.
There is a series of forums explaining the government's new rules for the financial system. You were at the one in your hometown of St. Louis. And, Julie, I understand your local Fed president is saying the big banks are still acting like they're too big to fail?
They are. You know, it's bottom line is it's a good start, he says, but there's a lot more needed. Freddie and Fannie, for one thing, one panelist said that we don't have adequate regulations for too big to fail. We've got to do some trust busting here. Railroads, oil companies, AT&T, we've got to go with too big to fail here. But Bullard says nobody will believe too big to fail process will work until a big one actually does fail.
Right. Now they'll just they'll act as if in the meantime. Well, Julie, what I want to know is obviously the economy isn't super right now, but isn't the banking crisis behind us now?
Well, the pressure is building once again, though. China fired the People's Bank of China president. $430 billion loss in treasuries. That could cause a bank crisis over there. Europe, the bank problems aren't over yet. Sovereign debt problems are rising up again. And here in the United States, 15% of our banks are still in trouble, and that's due to real estate. And we saw this morning, it is still in the ditch. So this is not over.
Okay. Well, Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company, very interesting. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
And speaking of China, she mentioned there, the China bank president is his whereabouts unknown. The U.S. government is expected to announce new tariffs today on Chinese aluminum imports. The U.S. is blaming China for illegally boosting its aluminum industry at the expense of American manufacturers. More on that now from Marketplace's China bureau chief, Rob Schmitz.
The Commerce Department says more than $500 million worth of aluminum siding, door frames, and bicycles have been illegally subsidized by the Chinese government. The U.S. says China helped its own companies with tax breaks. As a result, the U.S. could make it harder for Chinese companies to sell aluminum in the States. The decision could hurt not only Chinese firms, but also American companies that import aluminum products from China. That's a familiar story for U.S.-China Business Council's Robert Poole.
Protectionist type of tariffs don't have the intended effect of creating employment for industries where the U.S. has already moved up the value curve.
Poole's group just released a report on how the Obama administration placed tariffs on Chinese tires last year and how that backfired. The administration disagreed with the report, but according to the U.S.-China Business Council, instead of boosting American tire makers, the tariffs just meant more tires from South and Central America flooded the U.S. market. A lawyer for China's aluminum industry says there aren't any plans to appeal today's decision. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
U.S. home prices rose a little bit in June. We found out this morning from Case Shiller that prices were up about 4% from a year ago. But most economists do not expect home prices to rise the rest of this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Even if you're not a huge baseball fan, I recommend a trip to Wrigley Field at some point. It's in a residential neighborhood of Chicago, and a lot of the apartment buildings right next door have views down into the ballpark. So as a side business, you see the owners of these buildings charging fans to watch the Cubs from their rooftops. Well, this year, reports Chicago's Tony Arnold, business has been tough.
Steve Alexander's with 3639 Wrigley Rooftop. It's one of about 20 buildings overlooking Wrigley Field.
We are now standing on the seventh level. This is what we consider our stadium seating. It's the highest point in the building.
Earlier this year, Alexander was charging about $200 per fan. He says his business is directly connected to how the Cubs perform.
We would be lying if we said it does not affect it. I think it affects it more coming down the home stretch.
The Cubs are nearly 20 games out of first place in their division and have little hope of making the playoffs. So the Rooftops are just trying to bring in customers. Online, tickets are going for $150 less than they normally would. A losing season's nothing new for the Cubs, but this year's skid has run smack into the continued slump in the housing market. Alan Sanderson is a sports economist at the University of Chicago. He says the Rooftops face more risk because of the nature of their business.
They're not immune from specific housing market conditions, nor are they immune from the fortunes or misfortunes of the Chicago Cubs.
One of the buildings is even going through foreclosure, and the bad economy is also scaring off corporate events that had been the backbone of the Rooftop fan base. Sanderson says there is hope for the Rooftops, though. The new owners of the Chicago Cubs, the Ricketts family, have invested in one of the buildings. He says that shows the team has faith that the Rooftops will continue to bring in money. And it's a far cry from a few years ago, when the Cubs went so far as to put up giant windscreens to block the view of the field. That is, until the Rooftop owners agreed to give the Cubs 17% of their earnings. Steve Alexander says there's no more bad blood, and he welcomes the Cubs owners into the neighborhood.
Cubs are going to be fine, the city's going to be fine, the Rooftops will be fine. So, you know, it's just a little bump in the road, and everybody's going to make adjustments, and, everybody just has to run their businesses a little closer to the best.
Alexander says he'll take a hit for the rest of this season, but he's banking on the motto of Cubs fans, that things will be better next year. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
Things will be better next year. Don't we all wish that? And by the way, the crosstown Chicago White Sox have a brand new star today. Manny Ramirez just came over from the Los Angeles Dodgers, who learned a little financial lesson. The Dodgers had picked up Ramirez in part because his salary was being paid by the Boston Red Sox, so L.A. was sort of getting Manny for free. But then that free season ended, and then there were new salary negotiations, and then Ramirez violated the league's drug policy. And anyway, as the Los Angeles Times put it, free is never free. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. You're free to follow me on Twitter at Bill Radke Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.